Well, good morning. Okay, just to show that I am still down to my core a Baptist, how about a big amen for all the music this morning? Is that good? It is a privilege to be here this morning for a lot of different reasons, especially to get to be with my cousin and her husband, John, who are very special to me, to be here with my family and my new friends that we met at the retreat. And it's always good to be in God's house, especially with the people that we love and care about. So thank you for the warm welcome that you've already given us this morning. I need to do a little bit of reteaching to the retreat group real quick. So those of you who weren't at the retreat, if you could just bear with me for a second, okay? Those of you at the retreat, I hope this triggers a little learning for you. Did anyone from the retreat go home last night and kiss the cook? I hope. Okay, there you go. Those of you who are curious, or those of you who want to get up and run right now, please don't. It'll make sense in just a little while. We had a blast at the retreat. Am I yelling or too loud? The title of the retreat was Marriage Rocks. Not on the rocks, but marriage rocks. And our whole focus for Liz and I was to show that we have to build our life on Jesus Christ, the rock, if we're going to weather the storms. And that was really the focus of the retreat. So if you're sitting here wondering, wow, is this sermon going to even apply to me? I'm not married, whatever. It does apply to all of us, because marriage is just a picture of how God wants us to love one another. That's one of the ways. But for all of us today, I want us to look at, do we have our life built on the rock? So that's what we're going to focus on this morning. You may be wondering, another reason you may want to get up and run is, why does he have a rope, right? We're going to get to that too. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at a lot of different passages this morning. Primarily, the book of Ephesians. So if you want to park with me in Ephesians chapter 5, that's where we're going to do some reading from. Real quickly, I don't have a seminary degree. I don't have a lot of credentials that go behind my name. I don't have any other reason that I can stand before you today, except that I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. And that's who I follow. And that's who I want to look like someday. And that gives me the strength and the power and the freedom to stand before you today, to share with you. So why don't you turn to Ephesians 5 and let's dive in. How about that? Oh, and one more thing. John said today was pot roast day. So I know y'all have a pot roast cooking at home. And he said I have 3 hours. Is that fair? No. Let's read from God's Word together. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, in giving himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or without blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. I have two questions, mostly for myself today, but for all of us to consider. What are you building your life on? What choices do you make every day that reflect the foundation of your life? Secondly, where is your heart in relation to the cross? Foundation, heart. That's going to be the focus of what we look at today. I am very blessed to be married to a wonderful lady. I am very blessed to have a circle of friends around me that love me and support me. And those relationships on planet Earth are the most important relationships that I have. But there's still another relationship that supersedes that. And that's my relationship with Christ. And as we talk today, if you don't have a living, breathing, personal, daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I would ask you to perk your ears and be curious today. Okay? If you do have a living, breathing, personal relationship with Christ, I encourage you to continue to be rooted in Him, like it tells us in Colossians, to be strengthened in Him. And hopefully today, we can learn even more about His love for us and how we can love others. Marriage rocks. If you look at the word rock, we're going to walk through R-O-C-K real quick, okay? The R in the rock stood for relationship this weekend. And obviously, we were focused on our spouses. And if you take a walk down the hallway going to John's office, you'll see a recipe for success that really captured all the different things that we talked about during the retreat. But we really started by talking about the relationship that we have with the Lord. Because if we're not right with Him, we're not going to be right with the people that He's blessed us with here on earth. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only Son. That whosoever believeth Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It all starts there. When we look at our marriages, when we look at our friendships, when we look at our coworkers, when we look at the person next to us in the pew, whether they're a monkey or not, we will not be right with the people on earth unless we're right with Jesus Christ. So again, what foundation are you building your life on? And where is your heart in relationship to Christ? There's a great verse in Deuteronomy, and I'm a simple guy. I need it as simple as possible to understand. And Jesus gave us two main commands. Does anybody remember what those were? Love the Lord God with all your... Awesome. And then love who? Then love your neighbor as yourself. Again, I have to have that love with Christ in order to give it to the people around me. Am I there yet? Have I matured completely? No. Just ask my children and my wife. I have a long way to go. But that's the source of my love that I am allowed to share with the people around me. I can't give them love unless I have love. What does the Bible tell us the source of love is? It's God. It's Jesus. He painted a picture for all of us through His Word and through the life of Christ. And that's our source. We joked about what are we plugged into. Some of us try to do things on our own strength. And we talked about the example of, how many of you have boats, by the way? Just curious, any boaters, fishermen? You have to charge the battery or a golf cart. You know, that has an energy source, a power source, right? If that battery is not charged up, what happens? Not much, right? Same for us. What are we plugged into? Well, I am here to remind us all today that the only true, limitless power of source and love and strength is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if Chad's going to be the kind of dad and husband and man and leader and program director at a Presbyterian children's home, I have to be plugged into Christ or it's going to be messy. I can only go so far in my own strength. I have to have the power and the source of love that comes through Christ in order to love the people around me. So I can't give to others what I don't have myself. So relationship. What are you building your life on? In Matthew, it talks about the parable of building your life on the rock or the sand. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand. If you want to, go ahead. How many of us have tried the whole sand thing? Have you ever had a mouthful of sand? It's kind of gritty and nasty and doesn't taste very good, does it? We have to build our life on the rock. Because has anyone faced a storm yet? Or a fire? Or a challenge? Or a trial? Most of us have, right? And those of you who haven't, it's coming. Trials and storms are part of life. So when those things come, it tells us in Scripture in Matthew that if we're built on the rock, we will stand. But if we're built on sand, we may fall. So the first R today reminds us of the importance of where we are in relationship to Christ. Because we can't give something that we don't have ourselves. The O. Now hear me on this. It's offense. Not offensive. We didn't talk about how to be offensive. But we talked about how to be on the offense. Students, how many of you play sports? I'm just curious. Awesome. So, offense. Would you rather play offense or defense? Typically. Play defense. Awesome. Where in Scripture does it talk to us about how we defend ourselves? Anybody have a passage that comes to mind? In Ephesians? Chapter 6? It talks about what? The armor of God, right? Scripture is very clear on how we are to defend ourselves and the tools and the power that we have in Christ to do that. But we wanted to focus on the one piece of armor that allows us to be on the offense. And does anybody know what that is? God's Word, right? So this weekend we reflected on, as spouses or just as men or as women, do we take initiative? We have a choice as to who we follow. We have a choice as to how we live life. And we challenged ourselves to take the initiative. Who took the first initiative in loving us? Well, his name was Jesus. And 1 John 4:9 says, we love because he first loved us. Jesus, we serve a God that initiates to us. I don't know about you, but I'm really thankful for that. He comes after me with his love and his grace and his power. So we talked about as men taking the initiative in loving our wives. If you look back at Ephesians 5, how did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for her. He was selfless, not selfish. Now, if you're like me, my selfish muscle is a lot stronger than my selfless muscle most days. But Jesus gives us the example of how we can be selfless. Is that ever challenging in relationships on planet Earth? For most of it, most of the time it can be. I like to get my way. I like the remote control, right? But it's bigger than who has the remote control. It's how do we submit to one another under Christ and how we love each other. Kiddos, I'm guessing you've had a discussion with your parents about trying to get your way. Is that a fair assumption? You can nod even if they're looking. All right. Because they've been there too, right? Jesus models a selfless love and a sacrificial love and a love that cleanses us and makes us whole and better and stronger. And that's the kind of love he wants us to initiate on planet Earth. In addition to love, he also taught us how to forgive. And the songs could not have been selected any more better today. And the Amazing Grace with the chain. Our son Josh, who's sitting over here, did a great illustration. It was actually on my birthday. I think he was 16, maybe, something like that. And he had a chain wrapped around him while he was preaching. Just to visualize how bound we can become by sin. So if you can envision this tangle around yourself. Who came to set us free from this? Christ. The gospel is so clear that Jesus Christ came to save us and to make us whole and to be in relationship with us. And in addition to how we initiate love with one another, we talked about initiating forgiveness. Okay, guys, I need to speak to the men a little bit just because mostly I'm a man, but do any of you ever pout? Wives, y'all can nod if you want to. I can pout with the best of them if I don't get my way, if someone hurts my feelings, someone does something I don't think they should do, or they did it the wrong way. But I need to forgive that in them, right? How dare me be arrogant enough to think that I can't forgive someone else when I've been forgiven? I keep the Lord busy every day. He has to walk really close to Chad. He tells us in Colossians 3 to clothe ourselves with compassion and basically to forgive one another like he forgave us. Do any of you ever struggle with forgiveness? Do you ever hang out in your corner just waiting for someone to come in because you're not moving? I'm not saying I'm sorry till you say you're sorry. I know we're speaking hypothetically today, but you can nod if you know if you've heard of that before. One of the things we talked about, and I think Josh and Jesse might remember this, but forgiveness is not saying you're sorry that you got caught. But forgiveness involves saying, I'm sorry because I was wrong. The Lord calls us to love like he loved, to take that initiative. But he also calls us to forgive like he forgave us. And you know, if he can do it for Chad, the least I can do is try to give that to the people around me. He took the initiative, and he calls us out as men and women to initiate their forgiveness in our home. Another aspect of the O that we talked about being on the offensive about was to safeguard our heart. Okay, are all the students mostly? I'm guessing students because I still don't understand Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. Social media is alive and well in our day today, right? And I'm guessing, kiddos, y'all heard some lectures about being careful and being safe as to what you let in. And I'm not here to scare anybody. But the enemy is prowling after your heart, after all of our hearts. It tells us in John 8 that he's the father of lies. That's his name. He knows how to deceive and to lie to us. Social media is a gateway into our life. And we talked about how it's not necessarily bad, but we need to be safe with it. We need to safeguard our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. The enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy our hearts, in John 10 it says. But it also tells us in John 10 that Christ came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. The men, we talked about how we are to safeguard our families. We can pick on television all day long. We can pick on media all day long. But the reality is we let things inside the gate of our homes. In our eyes, our ears, what we read. And all those things impact us in our minds and our heart. And our challenge as men and ladies is to safeguard our homes and to safeguard what we see and what we taste and what we hear. Christ came to give us life. The enemy came to kill and destroy. We talked about leaky roofs. I don't have much over my roof. Are y'all awake out there? But I've been called to protect my house. And if there's a leak, typically, I'm guessing we have some people in here who are familiar with leaky roofs. Has anyone ever had a leaky roof at home? You're thinking, man, I've got one right now. Leaks grow, right? And it takes one little crack for water to find it, and it comes down. It starts coming down the wall, sometimes all the way down to the baseboard. And all of a sudden, a little bitty leak turns. turns into a multi-hundred or even $1,000 repair job. If there's a crack in our heart, the enemy's going to find it. And he's going to test us, and he's going to keep pouring water on it until we either say no or we say, yes, come on in, enemy. And again, if we allow those cracks in our heart, if we don't put the safeguards around our heart, we will be destroyed. And the joy of life will be choked out of us. But if we stand on the rock, when those rains come, we'll be strong. The third letter we talked about was C, covenant. Covenant. Has anyone ever been in a covenant relationship? Well, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in a covenant relationship. If you are married or been married, you've been in a covenant relationship. If you are a parent and a child, you're in a covenant relationship. For us, we talked about covenant reflecting God's promise to us. God always keeps his word. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His word, his promise is true. He promises to never leave us, forsake us. He's always here for us. And that's the kind of relationship that he wants us to have with the people on earth that we care for and love. That we keep our commitments and we keep our promise. Now, I'm still Baptist to the core. I honestly don't know a lot about the Presbyterian Church yet. But I still know sometimes it's uncomfortable for us as Baptists to raise our hands in praise, to actually maybe even move a little bit in the pew when the song's going, right? I'm picking on us. But we are filled with something that gives us life and strength and power. What is that? The Holy Spirit. He left himself in us here on earth to give us the strength and the power and the patience with one another, right? Because God loves an imperfect Chad. And he's asking me to love like he loves. I can't do it on my own. But he gives me the Holy Spirit. In Galatians, I think chapter 2 or 5, it talks about the fruit of the spirits. Spirit. Kids, students, anybody remember that song, The Fruit of the Spirit? I don't remember it. I was hoping somebody did. But there was a song I can remember in Vacation Bible School where people sang the song, The Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, all those things. And we know in him we can love that way. We have that source of power in our life to deliver those fruit to the people around us. The K, now this is a kind of a stretch. We misspelled K a little bit. We spelled communication with a K. Well, I started to pick on the Aggies, but I better not. My wife went to A&M. I went to Baylor. I'll let you figure out who spelled communication with a K, all right? For communication, how does Christ communicate with us? Well, first of all, he demonstrated his love by what? Dying on the cross for us. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, he communicated his love on the cross. But do any of you ever struggle with communication? You know, I have been told, I know everyone in here has everything together, everything's good, no problems, no challenges, no deficiencies. Well, for me, I struggle with my tongue sometimes. And sometimes what comes out is like toothpaste. You've seen the illustration with toothpaste. You know, once you start squeezing, can you get it back in? You can try, but you get it all over you, right? Well, sometimes that's what our words do. And in James 1:19, it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you're like me, I usually get that reversed. Quick to become angry, quick to speak, and slow to listen. But that's not God's design for us. So we discussed how as partners, as mates, how we can practice listening first and then speaking. Students, I encourage you, if you really want to just blow your parents' mind, which I know some of you sit around thinking about, how can I blow mom and dad's mind? when they're talking to you the next time and you're on your phone, I double dog dare you to turn your phone off and to physically look them in their eyes. Now, I'm going to warn you, they're probably going to fall over. Okay? But that undivided attention, you know, I talked about how I try to physically turn to Liz at times. If we're watching TV, I'll turn the TV off just so I can give my attention. Listening is so important because what does it communicate to people? That I respect you, that I value you, that I understand how important you are and what you say means something to me instead of just being reactive and unattentive. So I am thankful that we serve a God that listens to us. He says, come to my throne with boldness and confidence. Come freely to me. Because I will hear you. I will listen to you. Now, it doesn't always mean we get our way, but we do serve a God who listens. And he's asking us to practice that same skill here on earth. We wrapped all those things up with something we call the recipe for success. And they're out there in the hallway listing all the different things that we talked about. But do you want to have a successful life? We hear a lot about success. I'm not talking about the world's success. This has nothing to do with your bank account, the kind of car you drive, the clothes you wear, places you get to go. This is about success in the kingdom, to where you have a living, breathing, daily relationship with God the Father. And that he has plans for all of us. Not just plans for marriage. Not just plans for how we live out our life as teenagers, which he does have plans for you. But success is building your life on the rock. I brought a rock as a reminder to all of us. We didn't throw these at each other this weekend, by the way. Jesus Christ is the rock. He is the only rock that will stand the storms of life. And I don't know where you are today individually with Christ. If you have questions about that, I have no doubt John or any of the leaders in this church would be more than glad to visit with you about that. Even today when we open up the altar, it's called invitation time. If you have questions about that, please come down and visit. Because if you want to have a successful life, if you want to have a marriage, a life that withstands the storms of life, the Bible tells us that this is the only thing that will last. That when the rains come and the storms come, that if you've built your life on the foundation of Christ, you will stand. And that would be my hope and prayer for every breathing person in this room. Kiddos, you may be 14, 16, 12, 8, I don't know how old you are, but this is what lasts. Nothing else will. There are a lot of promises made to us by the world that get broken very fast. But God keeps his word, and Christ keeps his word. And this is what holds us up during the times of storm. In just a little bit, we're going to move into a time of reflection and decision time. But I want to paint a little picture for you that I read about in Genesis about the altar. And this is a living altar. And we're going to open that up in just a few minutes for you to come and pray with your family or talk to John about a decision you're thinking about. Or just to come sit here and reflect and pray together, however you want to use this altar. But let me describe for you how Abraham used the altar. Anytime God kept his promise, or anytime Abraham wanted to remember the blessings that he had been poured upon by the Lord, he built an altar. And it was a remembrance for him of those intimate, personal, face-to-face encounters that he experienced with the living God. We all have the opportunity to do that every day with the Lord. But specifically this morning, there's going to be a time for you to come to the altar. Those of you who are in the retreat this weekend, this may be a time for you to come and pray together. I don't know. We did a little exercise with the rocks. You made promises. You may want to do that publicly. I don't know. But there's an opportunity for you this morning to come to the altar with your heart. And like we talked about in the very beginning, where is your heart in relationship to Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here today. God, I thank you for this church, not just John and Lisa, but you know how much I love them. But Lord, just for the people in this church that love you, Lord, and seek you and serve you. Lord, bless this church body. Continue to strengthen them as they grow. Lord, as individuals, we come before you this morning. For those of us who know you, thank you, God, for your love and your forgiveness and your grace. God, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't have a daily walk with you, Lord, I pray you would give them the courage to ask a question today about it, to take that first step maybe down the aisle to visit with John. Lord, move in all of us today as we think about where our hearts are in relationship to the cross. Lord, may we look and love and forgive more like you every day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.